You know, all week long I had been thinking about my message. Today, as I look back and I think of, this week has been a real kind of stressful week for me. I think it was the enemy fighting against me. But you know, as I came in today and I began to talk to the family here, and person after person said that, you know, we've been praying for you. I thank God for your prayers. You know, and it really touched my heart, because I'm going to share something with you. This is the first time in my life, and I shared this with Pastor Jeremy, that I felt the prayers of the saints. I could feel them. I could feel that somebody was praying for me. And I thank God for the family today. The song said that on the solid rock we stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. That rock is Christ. He's the only rock that we can stand on, that we can stand firm on. You know, Pastor Jeremy says this all the time. He says, the church is in the building. But you know, it's people in the building that's not in the church. It's people that come into not just this building, but buildings all over the United States. They're in the building, but they're not in the family. To be in the family, you have to be born into it. You got to be born into this family of God. And I say that because it hits home for me. I just want to share a little bit of my testimony with you. See, I was raised in the church, in the building. For years, I was in the building. I had a praying mother and a father that was a minister, and I heard the word all my life. But you know what? It wasn't until I got in my late 50s that I came into the family of God. All my life, my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, and it was way over into my 50s that I came into the family. I've been around the word all my life. Matter of fact, I could probably tell you some of the word because I had came up around it. But seeing being around it don't put you in the family. One day I had to go to the cross because I had heard about this Jesus. I had heard about him. And I looked back over my life and I said, Lord, I need to be saved. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I need you to come into my life. I had to go to the cross because, see, that's where salvation is only in Jesus Christ. It's only in him. And I think there's a lot of people that's been around the church for years and have heard the gospel of Christ. You know, we just come off of Missions Month and it's been the gospel. And you know what? If you're not in the family of God, the only thing that can get you there is the gospel. Because the gospel is for every mission field. Be it foreign or domestic, be it in these walls, it's the gospel that saves people. It's the gospel that brings people into the family of God. I thought about this. I thought about me, you know. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. For a lot of years, I was walking in that way. It seemed right to me. But the end of that is death. And I share this with you because, see, if you don't believe and trust in God, your eternal life is at stake. God might not give you the time he gave me. We don't know. He was gracious to me. And you know what? I love the Lord today. I love him with all my heart because of what he's done for me. You see, the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ, he died for us. But I think to understand this salvation, we need to understand who this God of our salvation is. See, if you don't know who he is, you might believe another gospel. Because there's people that are preaching another gospel. Some people say that he's just a prophet or another good teacher. But the Bible tells us who this God of our salvation is. If you look in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God in the beginning. If you look in Genesis 1:1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But it goes on to say about this Jesus that I'm talking about, that all things were created through him. And it says that apart from him, not one thing was created that was created. And besides that, in Hebrews, it tells us that he holds all this together by the word of his power. This is the Jesus I'm talking about. This is the rock they were singing about. On that rock we stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. This is the Jesus of the Bible. It says that in the beginning he was with God and he was God. And everything that was created by him. Then listen. It says that life was in him. And this life was the light of man. You see, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. But see, it's not this light, it's not that light. You see, that light was a created light that God created. This light was in him. And it said in him is life. Only light and life can be found in God. It can't be found in nowhere else but in him. And it goes on to say that this light is shined in the darkness. And it wasn't talking about the darkness at night. Or the darkness that's in the universe. It was talking about the darkness in the hearts of men. That's the darkness that this light shined into. And the Bible tells us that our hearts, in Matthew 5:15-19, it says that from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimonies, and blasphemy. The heart of man is dark. It's very dark. It also says in Jeremiah that the heart is more deceitful than anything else and is incurable. And who can understand it? The heart is dark. But this light that came in the world and he shined into the hearts of men, it exposed the deceitful heart. And not only expose the heart, but the light shine to let us understand to see who the Savior is. Amen. Yes. It gave us light to understand this Jesus, this God, the creator of the universe, was the light of the world. Then it said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came here, he acquired a body. And he came and he dwelt among us. And he proclaimed who he was to men. Jesus said he was the light of the world. He told Thomas, he said, Thomas asked him, he said, we don't know where it is you're going or how to get there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except through me. He's the only way. There's no other way but through him. This is the God of the gospel. This is the God that we have to trust in. This is the God who can save us and set us free. This is the Jesus that's the light of the world. In Acts, after Peter, they had healed a man. And he said this, he said, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, he said, whom you crucified. Whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing here whole. Then he went on to tell him, he said, this Jesus that you rejected has become the cornerstone. This Jesus. You see, Jesus came in and he declared who he was to the people. But you know what? Some rejected him. They didn't believe him. Matter of fact, they killed him. But he said this, he said, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no name under heaven given to people where we must be saved. We have to believe in the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, who he is, to be in the family of God. You know, it might be people that come to church and they might be in the building. They may have made a confession, but see, a confession don't save you. You can confess with your mouth, but the Bible says, first of all, you have to believe in the heart. There's some people in the church that they got a lot of knowledge, yes, yes, of the Bible, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night. And he told Jesus, he said, listen, you must be from God because of the things you do. Jesus immediately told him, he said that to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. See, Nicodemus, he had an interest. He had heard about Jesus. He saw the miracles. But you know what? He didn't, at that particular time, he didn't recognize him for who he was. He said, you must be from God. But he was God. He's the only one that can save us. God is the only one that can save. People come into the church and they think maybe because they're good moral people that they live a good life. They don't steal, they pay their taxes. They don't cheat on their husband or their wife. They're good workers. But see, that don't save you. And it won't save you. Only thing that can save us is the blood of Jesus Christ. But like I said, see, some, they didn't believe. But here in John 1, 12 and 13, it said this, it said, but all who did receive him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Those who believed what? In his name. They believed in the person of Jesus Christ. They believed in who he said he was. And right in this verse, where he said he gave, it's the gospel. That gave right there, it emphasizes the grace of God that's involved in salvation. He gave. In Ephesians it says, 2:8-9, it says, it's by grace through faith that you have been saved. And this not of yourselves. The Bible says is a gift of God. The grace and the faith, both and, are a gift of God. Both of them. But it's really saying more than that. He gave us the grace and the faith to believe in him. But listen, God gave his son. He gave. The son gave his life. Matter of fact, he didn't just give his son. Like Pastor said, God killed his son on the cross. His son died. You see, when Abraham and Isaac went up to sacrifice and Isaac saw the altar and he said, listen, he said, I see the altar and I see the wood. I see everything, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? God spared Isaac and he spared Abraham. Abraham do the sacrifice in obedience to God. But God spared him. He had a ram in the bush. But God didn't spare his own son. He didn't spare him. He crucified him. And he did it for you and for me. That's the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. God didn't spare him. He gave his own son up for us. But he said that all who believed in him, he gave them the rights. And the only way we have the rights to be called the children of God is because what Jesus done on the cross. That's the only reason. He said he gave him the rights, and that right was involved his sacrifice on the cross. But that's the only way we become children. That's the only way you can get in the family of God. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he said all that believed and trusted in who he was, trusted in his name, trusted in his claims. Lazarus had died, and Jesus, he didn't come to Martha and Mary's house until some days later when his body had begun to decompose. And it was an impossible situation. And Martha told Jesus, he said, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, he told Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He told her, he said, listen, he said, and she told him, she said, I understand that he's going to be raised in the resurrection later on. But Jesus moved her from to later on to right now. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life right now. And when he went to the grave, he told him, listen, just roll away the stone. He asked her, he said, listen, he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Martha said, I believe that you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Lazarus, he spoke the words. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And when Jesus spoke the words, Lazarus, he came out of the grave. And that was a physical resurrection. But you know what? When he saves us, he resurrects us. Absolutely. Out of the grave. The Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. The Bible also says those that I foreknew, he said he predestined. And those that he predestined, he said he called. And those that he called, he said, I justified them through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then he said, I sanctified them. And I glorified them. You see, when we're dead in our sins, the only person that can bring life to us is Jesus. He's the resurrection. And dead folk can't respond. But he said, I called them. Just like he called Lazarus out of the grave, he calls us and he saves us. It's all by his power. It's all done by him. Yeah, we have to believe to receive, but even that belief that we have is given to us by God. All that is given to us by him. Then he went on to say that, and they were born not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When Nicodemus went and had a conversation with Jesus, Jesus told him, he said, unless you are born again, you won't be able to enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, he said, well, I don't understand. How can a man be born again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus, he explained to him that this birth was, it was from above. It was by the power of God. Jesus preached his gospel to Nicodemus. He told him, he said, just like the pole that he had Moses make and to put a serpent on that pole and to lift that pole. And he said that everybody that had been bitten by these serpents, if they would look to the pole, by faith, that they would be healed. And he said, just as this pole was lifted up, Jesus said, I have to be lifted up from the earth. And he said, I would draw men to me. Listen, Jesus, that pole represented him, because on that pole was the sins of humanity and the wrath of God. And he bore them for us. That pole represented the wrath of God and the sins of humanity. And Jesus said, I'm going to have to be lifted up just like that pole. And then you have to look to him for salvation. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And I think another thing is this gospel, when we receive this gospel, when we believe, when we trust in it, it changes us. The gospel changes you. Paul said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, I experienced this for myself. Like I told you before, I was in the building for a long time, but not in the family. But when I finally came to the point and I asked Jesus, I said, listen, I need to be saved. I need you to come into my life. And he came in and he changed me. You see, I had a desire to be with him. I had a desire to be in his word. I had a desire to know more of him, more about him, and a desire to be around the people of God. It changes you. And the more I walk with the Lord, the more I can see clearly that I wasn't saved. The closer I get to him and the more of him I get, the more clearly I see that I was never in the family of God. And you might be here today and you might heard this message before and you may have not given your heart to him. But if you want to come into the family, you got to submit to the king. You got to submit to the king. The more I begin to move closer to the Lord and get in his word and look at my life, where I had been and where I am now, I realize the change in my life. And it's funny how the Lord works sometimes. You know, I watched my son Tyree from the time he got saved and gave his heart to the Lord. to where he is now, being a pastor. And all that time, I watched him give his heart to the Lord and how the Lord had changed him and changed his life. I still went in the family. I was in the building before he even got saved. But as I watched him, God began to deal with me. He began to deal with my heart. And we began to talk, me and my son. And he began to tell me, well, Dad, you have to examine yourself to really see if you're in the faith. And I'm not just saying this to say it. He's been an inspiration, my son. You see, I've been around the church for a long time, but God had to humble me and say, listen, you need to hear what he's saying. You need to humble yourself and hear what he's saying. Sometime because of our physical age, we think that we don't need to listen to somebody that's younger than us. We don't need to pay him any attention because we already know. But the truth of the matter was that though I was older than him in age, he was older than me in Christ. And I began to listen to my son. I began to humble myself and listen to him. And he really challenged me about my life, the way I was living, the things that I was doing. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to look at our lives and examine them and see if they match up with the Word of God. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger, they won't follow. I followed strangers for a long time. I didn't listen to the voice of the Lord because I didn't belong to him. I wasn't his sheep. I had to begin to examine myself and the life that I was living, the things that I was doing over some years. And God began to convict my heart. And I realized that I wasn't in the faith. I don't know where your hearts are. I'm not the judge of that. God is. But I think it's important that we examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And you know, I think that once we come to the Lord, some things change in our life. We have some signs or some evidence that we're in the faith. In John 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. If we're in the faith, we walk in the light as God is in the light. And as we walk in that light, he cleanses us, because that light, it reveals the sin in us. And as it's being revealed to us, he cleanses us. Why? Because it says, because if we confess our sins, if we're in the light, we confess our sins. We don't live in sin. Listen, I'm not saying we don't sin, because we do. But we confess our sins. And the Bible says that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a process how God, he sanctifies us in our life. As we sin, we confess and he cleanses us. It says that this is how we are sure that we have come to know him, that we keep his commandments. We yield to him and we obey the word of God. If we know him, if we're in him, this is what we do. These are signs that we are in the family of God. And this one right here, it says, dear friends, let us love one another because God is love. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, I looked at that, and I want to say this about this church. It's a lot of love here. That what drew me and my wife to the church, the love of Christ that's demonstrated in this church. Jesus said, with love and kindness have I drawn you to me. The love that is in this church is a godly love. But when we're talking about this love, the Bible says that we love God because he first loved us. That's why we love him. And we do love him because we couldn't love him unless he first loved us. But the flip side of that is this. Now we love people that don't love us. We love like God because we didn't love him. He loved us. But since we've been saved, we're in the family, we love like he do. We love folk that hate us. The Bible says you're supposed to love your enemy. We love like he loved now. We love people like he loved people. We love the unlovable. That's a sign that we're in Christ when we love like that. Would you bow your heads and would you just pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you that you came into this world and you died for us, Lord. Father, we ask that you break up the fallow grounds of our hearts. We pray that you save the lost, those ones that need salvation, that needs you, Lord. Father, we pray that you would draw them. Only you can save, Lord. So we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.